You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Well, we've got a real treat for you today. I don't know if you caught my last article, which was 12 reasons why inflation is here to stay. But the person you're about to hear from, he's been measuring inflation for decades now, but not using the government's throwaway measures, which are solely geared at understating the CPI, the effects of inflation, and thereby keeping the deficit down, keeping down cost of living increases for government workers, for Social Security, for Medicare. No, he's been using the measure that was used prior, back in the 70s. His name is John Williams. If you haven't been to his website yet, you should definitely go. Shadow Government Statistics, aka shadowstats.com. It's been a while, John, but I'm thrilled to have you back on the show.
Thank you for having me, Kurt.
So inflation, I guess the interesting thing to me, John, is, you know, you and I lived through prior inflationary times in the 70s, stagflation, but by far the largest number of people on the planet now have never lived through an inflationary cycle, or the cycle, not that inflation ever went away. It's just that it was explained away. It was minimized, but now there's no minimizing it. What do you say to a millennial who always assumed that the value of his currency, his paycheck, remained pretty consistent? You were able to go buy the goods and services you needed and maybe have a little money left over at the end of the week to go invest in cryptocurrencies. What do you say to that person to explain to them what's going on now?
Well, as you mentioned, we've seen changes in the way the government's estimated inflation over time. If you go back to the early 1980s, they had a way of measuring the consumer price index, the inflation number, that in theory measured what was needed in the way of maintaining a constant standard of living. If you could keep your income growing along with that measure, you would stay about even with inflation. The problem was that the government was in a little bit of a new circumstance then, because Nixon had abandoned gold back in 1971, and in the wake of that, up through the point in time where gold and the dollar were tied together, the two stayed in alignment and tended to reflect what was happening with inflation. But with the break, they started moving separately. Gold continued to rise as we were having inflation. And we were having inflation, but the politicians in Washington were uncomfortable because although they still had the cost of living and adjustment there to put in and make right the payments from the government in terms of Social Security checks and such, they found that they're all of a sudden they had an increase in budget deficit because of these cost of living adjustments that had to be made in people's checks. So what they did was they redefined the way they calculated the consumer price index. First thing they did was change the cost of measuring housing costs. Mm-hmm. One of the components in that was the cost of buying a new house. There's a lot more than just buying a new house, because a lot of people are already in their homes. But that was one component in it. And what they did was they shifted things over to what they called a homeowner's equivalent rent, putting instead of a hard cost what the government deemed a homeowner would pay himself to rent his own house. And then the actual inflation measure on that was worked on in terms of how the government figured the individual, how much the individual would raise the rent on himself. And that replaced the regular inflation measure for housing costs, with the impact of reducing the headline consumer price index by a full 1.5 percentage point in that year and basically going forward. Putting that 1.5% in perspective, last year, I'm talking back in 2020, you were looking at a CPI inflation overall of 1.3%. So if that were back in there, you would have seen double the inflation rate. And they kept making changes, all sorts of changes, to reduce the headline inflation rate and not maintain a constant standard of living for people who were living on the government numbers and relying on a cost of living adjustment, honest cost of living adjustment. Difference right now is 6 to 7 percentage points in terms of what has been taken out of the what's been taken out of the inflation and what's being reported. So that where you just had a cost of living adjustment for Social Security that was announced at 5.9% for next year, that's based on the third quarter headline consumer price index for all urban workers. That's a big jump from where you were the year before at 1.3%. That's because we're seeing some soaring inflation, and that was picked up there. But it's still shy by that 6-7%. That should have been up over 13%. And so the average guy is not getting what he needs to be to maintain his constant standard of living. And that is that's a big problem. Because even if the numbers were accurate, we're beginning to see a very rapid rise in inflation now. So
yes, you certainly are. And hey, you go to the grocery store, you want to buy some steak, whatever you want to buy. Basically, you're seeing the price of it going up. You know, inflation and monetary supply, everything else, it's directly tied to these supply chain issues, so-called supply chain issues we've been having, John.
Yeah.
Shortages, prices, inflation, always shortages follow. Can you just explain for those of you out there listening how this works?
Well, we have an unusual circumstance that was triggered by the pandemic, and you had a shutdown of the economy, complete disruption, very heavy unemployment, and now they're trying to get everything back together. So not only have you had disruptions from that, but with the you've also seen a surge in inflation, which basically was set up by the Fed and the federal government. The Federal Reserve launched a program for buying the bonds and such from the banks. Just made the money supply soar. If you look at what I refer to as the narrowest measure of money supply, which is basically currency in circulation and checking accounts, I call it basic M1. That's up basically. It's up 94% from where it was before the pandemic hit. We've never seen anything like that.
Yeah,
this is a type of money growth that will generate inflation and a very very high inflation. And if it continues growing, which I expect it to, you have the risk of the inflation getting out of control. It's beginning to get there, much higher than anyone, at least the government, expected. And as it starts to soar, you're losing purchasing power in your U.S. dollars if you're holding currency. There are a couple of ways to get around that. Number one is don't hold U.S. dollars in currency. Hold some precious metals, physical precious metals, gold and silver, particularly. And because both gold and silver will retain the purchasing power of your wealth that you put into them. There's been a lot of that seen throughout history, particularly with hyperinflation. And we're getting into a very high inflation area right now.
You think, John, that we're going to see hyperinflation?
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Arcana Corporation is on the verge of bringing the world's highest grade silver mine into production. The Revenue Virginius mine in Colorado has proven improbable silver reserves grading nearly 37 ounces per ton silver with an all-in sustaining production cost of only US $8 per ounce of silver. The mine is fully permitted with infrastructure already in place, and the company has announced they plan to commence production in 2020. Achieving successful production usually results in a significant upward share price re-rating on the Lassonde curve. Arcana trades under the ticker AUN in Toronto and AUNFF in New York. To learn more, go to arcana.com. That's A-U-R-C-A-N-A.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
I think we've got a good shot at it. The Fed is not cutting back on its money supply growth. It's tapering. They just started tapering, which means instead of buying $120 billion of bonds from the banks each month, they're going to maybe buy $105 billion. But they're still increasing. It's unprecedented. We've never seen anything of this magnitude in the United States. And they qualified that by saying, gee, you know, the economy doesn't continue to progress as we thought it would, that we may change that and put more money into the system. They're going to end up putting more money into the system. The Fed's primary goal is keeping the banking system solvent, and they're supporting the banks. Right now, that is, we're in an extraordinarily difficult time with the economy. You had the collapse, and then things bounced back, and the Fed will tell you, oh my goodness, we had such wonderful progress since the pandemic started, and so we're cutting back on our on the money that we're pumping into the system. The progress that was made was all through the first half of the year. Then we started to see the economy falter. We're seeing employment right now, payroll employment, and I'll tell you right up front that none of the big numbers that we're seeing out of the government, very few, are of good quality right now because the system's disrupted. The communications are disrupted. The surveying's disrupted. They have a sense of where the GDP is, but they don't have a good hard number. Right now, they'll tell you that the GDP has fully recovered the level of pre-pandemic. That's despite all the shortages and all the problems that are being seen out there. As far as I'm concerned right now, the best quality economic statistic is payroll employment. And the reason I say that is that it's reported by companies who are employing people. They pay the payroll taxes on the people they employ, and they report the payroll taxes to the government. Now, that's a straight reporting system. They're out there trying to, the government's trying to survey the number of people who are unemployed. They used to go out and visit people, call them on the telephone, but they don't visit people anymore. And the government admits that they can't really count all the people who are unemployed. Each month they say, well, we may have missed several hundred thousand people here. We counted them as employed, but they were really unemployed. And even if you hear Chairman Powell talk about it, that the unemployment numbers are not realistic with the payroll numbers. People are actually working and receiving paychecks. Right now, if you look at the level, it's down 3.3% from the pre-pandemic peak. Now, the economy supposedly is recovered. That's what we're hearing from the Fed.
I'd like you to believe, right?
Yeah, well, it's... What I did is I went back and looked at payroll, and again, that's as broad a measure as you're going to have of the economy, and it's reasonably honest. Sure. If you go back and look at every recession since World War II, from the pre-recession peak to the trough, where you look at what happened to payrolls, right now, although the payrolls were down 13-14% at one point with the pandemic, there's a big plunge, and now we're coming back, but we're still down 3.3% below where you were coming into the pandemic. Yet 3.3% is deeper than the troughs in all of the last seven recessions going back to 1957, with the exception of the Great Recession. So there's no way that we're recovered, and the Fed knows that. Again, they're playing games with the banks are playing games with the markets, and they're getting a lot of criticism for the money they created because it's triggering inflation, but they had a devil's choice there. And the same thing's true with the federal government. What do we do? We have the systems collapse. We want to keep things reasonably solvent, things working. And they've done what they could. But the effect here, and we started to see it very quickly, and you're going to see it increasing. There's nothing that's... I talked with a number of people who in the various levels of wholesale, or where they supply raw materials into the production cycle, none of them are saying their cost coming down. Raw materials and such are up 40-60%. and they're passing along price increases to people who are using those products in their manufacturing. And then what they tell me is, well, I don't have any problems passing those prices along. You still have significant inflation coming through in this in the existing system.
Yeah. Hey, well, you know, I go back to like what Will Rogers said once upon a time, John. Ignorance got us into this mess, and ignorance will get us out. Right.
Right. Well, unfortunately, if it keeps getting worse in terms of the inflation, you get to a point that people increasingly expect the inflation, and they start it starts to become a feeding cycle, and you get a very rapid inflation that gets you into hyperinflation. You have some people who talk about the money supply. They say, well, you have to have a high velocity of money in order to have inflation. The velocity of money,
yes,
this is just the level of the monetary of the money supply, and you divide that number into the level of the GDP, and the faster it turns over, in theory, the higher inflation will be in, and that is true, and you'll tend to have faster economic growth. That's a relatively healthy circumstance. With positive economic, strong economic growth, usually have some inflation. The problem is when you have our current circumstance where you have very low velocity.
Yes.
The economy is collapsed. It's off bottom, but it's far from recovered. And at the same time, you've got an extreme level of money supply. We've never seen money supply like this. So the velocity is very low, and where you've seen circumstances like that are in Weimar Germany. Yeah. Venezuela, Zimbabwe, that's where you have the hyperinflation. You get the money's churning over. There's too much money chasing too few goods. And as you get a hyperinflation, they're your dollars that you're holding. And the dollars that you owe may become worthless. I mean, you have if you have the type of inflation where Zimbabwe was absolutely the worst case. Over a couple of years, they went from having a $2 bill that would be used in normal commerce to a bill of $100 trillion, which was worth the old $2 bill. And
well, what's really funny about that, John, is that there's a real collector's market. Originally, you could get stacks of those $2 trillion bills for pennies. Now on eBay, they're selling for $10, $20, $30 a piece.
Oh, really?
A friend of mine actually is using them as his business cards, if you can believe it. And it's really funny. You know, it's pretty hysterical when you think about it. So, looking ahead a year, when I come back and I talk to you next November, the end of next year of 2022, where are we going to be?
I'd say the odds favor that we will be in or have been through a hyperinflation and some kind of a currency reset. You look at two things. Number one, how do you preserve your wealth in that? How do you live through something like that, and to come out of it whole at the end? And what you need is something in the way of hard assets, such as gold and silver, physical gold and silver. They will retain their purchasing power through it. Real estate holds its value, but if times get very shaky politically, real estate's not portable, but it does retain its value over time. Mm-hmm. You have things like food. I mean, people obviously need to eat, so you get canned food, things like that. Those are items that will retain their value, but for as a store of wealth, to preserve your wealth through that time so that you're able to go ahead on a reasonably comfortable basis, or even just to save you in the difficult times ahead. There's nothing quite like holding the physical gold, and I generally suggest holding coins that are recognized as coming from a mint so that someone doesn't say, oh, I've got to assay that before I'll trade it.
Sure, I can imagine. All right. The site that you need to go to is shadowstats.com. John Williams, he is probably the leading authority on inflation as defined by rises in prices and consumer price index. You know, John, I know you're Austrian inclined. Mises defined inflation as an increase in the total money supply, but clearly the residual result of that directly is higher consumer prices. And more importantly, John, you know, what people don't understand is inflation is one thing, but what we're talking about is loss of purchasing power of your currency units. That's what it's about. Meaning there was once a McDonald's commercial and the little kid goes to his father, "Daddy, what's inflation?" And he says, "Son, inflation is when the price of everything goes up and your daddy's paycheck stays the same." And, you know, that was a very simplistic explanation, but so true, wasn't it?
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
Right. All right, John, we really appreciate you coming on with us. We really appreciate the work that you've continued to do often over the years, thanklessly. If you've got a question for John, just shoot me an email. You can either send it to kl@kerrylutz.com, go over to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and just use the contact form, either one. John, a pleasure. Thanks so much for taking your time out from your busy day and explaining things to us.
Well, thank you again so much for having me with you. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.